There is an outline in the bulletin if you want to follow along with it. And I'd like to draw your attention to Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. May God be pleased to bless his word to our hearts. If you're like me, you wonder about angels. And oftentimes we pray about the angels and the ministry of the angels. We have in our mind's eye pictures of them, and we see those divine beings dressed in white and with their wings flying. In the book of Isaiah, in the 6th chapter, we see a picture of the seraphim that have 6 wings each, and they cover their feet and they cover their faces, and with 2 of those wings they fly, Isaiah chapter 6 says. Well, we'd like to see that, I suppose. I'd kind of like to see that. But we don't see those divine beings, at least those spiritual beings. But the Bible tells us that they are many, and that they have a great work to do. And Psalm 91 tells us about the work of the angels. Concerning God, verses 11 and 12, God says concerning the angels, I should say, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And my objective this morning is to lay before you this ministry of the angels, and hopefully to help you see that this is a real ministry that Jesus Christ procures for you and for me. And so at the head of the outline, I have this statement: Christ, our covenant keeper, secures the ministry of the angels to ensure that we, his people, do not stumble over him, that is, Jesus Christ. And as we work through this outline, I hope that this is exactly what you will see, that Jesus Christ procures for us the ministry of the angels so that in the end, we who are his people will never stumble over Jesus Christ. And this is a great work which God outlines in his word. And for us to understand this work, we have to do a little bit of review. So those of you who haven't been with us, I hope that we can play a little catch-up here as we do a little bit of review. And what we see is that Jesus is our great covenant keeper. And in order for us to see this, we need to turn to Matthew chapter 4. And those great words in Matthew chapter 4, where the devil attempts to tempt our Lord Jesus. And I'd like to point out several things to you in Matthew chapter 4, and hopefully give you an understanding of the fact, briefly, that this Jesus is our covenant keeper. And this plays into Psalm 91, which the devil quotes to Jesus. Jesus doesn't quote it, the devil quotes it. And we need to look at how the devil uses this. But first in Matthew chapter 4, let's read it again. Look at it with me, if you would. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil said, you see those stones that are shaped like loaves of bread? Turn them into actual bread. And after this 40-day fast, you will be properly nourished. And Jesus quotes Scripture, and he not only quotes Scripture, but he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, which is a book of the covenant, a book of the covenant written for the people of God. The Old Testament book of Leviticus was a book that was written for the priests. Deuteronomy was written for the people, and it was a covenant book, a book of covenant renewal given to the people as they were in Moab, ready to go into Jordan or go into the promised land and across the Jordan River. And now he quotes from the book of the covenant, Deuteronomy. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus is not only quoting from that Old Testament book of the covenant, but he is living the covenant before the devil. And he keeps the covenant before God. And he stands before the devil as the great covenant keeper. Where Israel had failed the test in the wilderness, Jesus did not. In Matthew chapter 4 again, then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And so the devil comes and says, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. God the Father guarantees that the angels will catch you and bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91. That's the text we're interested in. And Jesus says, on the other hand, devil, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It's just another quote from Deuteronomy. Another quote from the book of the covenant. Another quote from this book in which Jesus stands before the devil and stands before God as the one who keeps the words of the covenant and will not be tempted by the devil and will not put the Father to the test. He is the epitome of those words. He just doesn't quote them. He lives them. And he keeps them. He's the covenant keeper. And he does so for his people. And then in Matthew 4 again, verse 8, and again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And again, Jesus counters the devil with words from this covenant book of Deuteronomy. And not only quotes them, but lives them. And there is a twist of irony here. I think it's really amazing. Because the twist of irony is that the devil says to Jesus, quoting from Psalm 91, you know, just jump off the temple. Second temptation. You'll have the angels. Jesus says, no. I'll live for my Father. I love my Father and I'll live for him. And I'll do as he says and I'll keep his covenant. And you see that 11th verse in Matthew 4? Then the devil left him. And behold, the angels came to him and ministered to him. And the angels came. The devil said, you'll have if you tempt God, if you test God. Jesus said, no. And then he did. As a result of his obedience, and his love of the Father, he had the benefit of the ministry of the angels. And so, I say in the second point in the outline, Christ wins special privileges for his people. See, he's the great covenant keeper. And this again is tied to Psalm 91. You see, the devil quotes from Psalm 91. And Jesus is the one who procures special benefits by not following the words of the devil, but by loving his Father. And the Book of the Covenant, Deuteronomy, has special privileges outlined in it. Turn back in that book to the text that was read, would you please, in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Look at what is promised the people of God. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verses 26 and 27 especially. Look at these great words. Wonderful words for the people of God. There is none like the God of Jeshurun, the God of Israel, who rides the heavens to your help and through the skies in his majesty. The eternal God is a dwelling place, a refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is a dwelling place and a refuge. And you kind of hear Psalm 91 in the background here, don't you? And underneath are his everlasting arms. What a place of security. What a place of hope. What a place of rest is the eternal God. And that's what he gives us as his people. This is the blessing of Moses to the people right before he dies. And when you get into the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses speaks no more. These are his final words. His final words of blessing. The eternal God is a dwelling place. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Wouldn't these be words of an individual who is ready to be taken up by God into his eternal rest? Now look if you would, at Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. So we're zeroing in on this text in Psalm 91. Look at the beginning of Psalm 90. And you hear these words that Moses utters. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our refuge, in all generations. And then look at the beginning of Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Here is the God of refuge, the dwelling place of everyone who believes. And if Jesus Christ procures for his people the benefits of the covenant which he fulfills, he surely procures for his people rest and refuge in the shelter of the Almighty. And isn't it a good thing for us just to pause and to be still, as Psalm 46 tells us, be still and know that I am God. Isn't it a good thing for us just to be still and to take time to rest and to pause and to contemplate the goodness of God, and that He is our refuge and strength, and just to stop the bustle of the world and to back away just slightly, if we can, from the rush of all that carries us forward in the other days of the week. And if Jesus Christ procures these benefits of the covenant that are outlined in these Psalms, look again at verses 11 and 12. He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Here are benefits that Jesus the Savior procures, purchases for people like us. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? The ministry of the angels. Well, the devil perverts this. Before we go back to Matthew 4, look at verses 11 and 12 again in Psalm 91. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. Here are privileges that God gives us in the daily fare of life as we come and go. He will guard you in all your ways. They will guard you in all your ways. Imagine that. Now look at Matthew 4 again. Should have told you to keep your finger there. Matthew 4 once again. And look at how the devil quotes this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7. Then the devil took Him into the holy city and had Him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And the devil quotes from the two verses in Psalm 91, but he leaves out one of the clauses about guarding you in all of your ways. And the way the devil quotes the psalm, it seems plausible that if you throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, the angels will bear you up. It seems plausible the way the devil quotes it. And this is the trick of the devil. The devil often quotes Scripture, and he takes Scripture out of context, and he makes it seem plausible. And his desire is that you would follow his inclinations and follow the perverse interpretation of Scripture that he is giving. He's the spin doctor par excellence. And he wants us to follow his spin on Scripture. And when we follow his spin on Scripture, we get exactly the opposite of what God promises. You see, the devil was trying to trip up Jesus. The devil was trying to make Jesus stumble by misquoting the psalm about the angels. And the hope of the devil was that Jesus would stumble and that Jesus would break the covenant and would be disobedient to the Father. But Jesus would not fall for the trick of the devil. And so, you see, here's the twist of irony again. That the devil wanted Jesus to stumble so that Jesus would actually be disobedient to the words of the psalm and to God the Father and not get the privilege of the ministry of the angels at all. But Jesus, again, would not fall for the trick of the enemy. And thence you see, at the end of this particular paragraph, the angels came and ministered to him. Very, very striking story from this perspective. So, I would say to you, as we go back to Psalm 91, and would you turn back with me to Psalm 91 and verses 11 and 12? I would say that Jesus procures for us in His love of the Father these very privileges that are outlined in Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. He will give His angels charge concerning you. Here just a few weeks ago, we had the privilege of ordaining Pastor Miller, and I had the privilege of giving the charge to the pastor and the charge to the congregation. Now, what that means basically is that I had the privilege of saying to you, this is what your duties are. This is how you should react to this whole situation. And to give you a charge that these are the things that you should carry out. And God gives directions to His angels. We are the charge of the angels. We are the object of the work of the angels. God gives the angels a charge. And we are the beneficiaries. That's what the beginning of verse 11 means. He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways, to guard your going and your coming. You know, we often pray about the ministry of the angels in protecting when we're traveling. And you've heard me often pray about that. To guard and keep our way. And I remember not too long ago that I think it was in Bloomington, Indiana, when I was visiting Christy there, and there are a lot of four-way stops and a lot of one-way streets. I just went, blew right through stop sign. Oops. Boy, was I glad. It wasn't somebody coming the other way. He will guard you. And I thought about this. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, your providential care. And part of the providential care of God involves the ministry of the angels. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. They'll protect you and keep you from falling. See, that's the idea. And it's not only in desperate physical circumstances, but spiritual circumstances. Primarily, I think, that the psalm has in mind. That the angels will guard you and protect you and keep you from stumbling so that you do not fall. And, you know, when a person falls and falls hard, it can be very difficult. It's life-changing. And when individuals make a desperate mistake in life, and the road they travel is different because of the mistake that they make in life, everything is altered. Everything. We need this ministry. We need this care that has been procured for us by Jesus. Look at verses 11 and 12 again. And the wonderful care of God. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They, the angels. You notice this is plural. Not just one. Some people like to talk about guardian angels. This is not a proof text for guardian angels. He will give His angels, plural, charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands. It would be nice, wouldn't it, to have just the ministry of a guardian angel, but think of the ministry of hundreds and thousands and 10,000 of the messengers of God dispatched to care for you and for me. This is what the psalm is talking about. And as the psalm exhorts us, and I think this is the case, to understand that Jesus, the great covenant keeper, procures for us this wonderful ministry, there is, it seems to me, a very pointed and very powerful application that we need to see. Please turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Hebrews speaks of the angels in chapter 1 and verse 14. And this is a verse some of us have often read. Speaking of the angels, the writer to the Hebrews asks this question: are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit eternal life? What are the angels? They are ministering spirits. They are servant spirits. You've heard me say this before, that animals are bodily creatures. They have bodies. They have souls. Much to the chagrin of some, I think this is the case. Human beings are creatures of God that have both body and soul, body and spirit. Angels are on the other end of the spectrum. They are pure spirits. They don't have bodies. They are spirits. They are ministering spirits. They are servants. And look at what Hebrews says they are sent to do. Sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. They are ministering spirits sent out to perform special service for individuals who will inherit salvation. We ought to spend a good bit of time on just that concept. In other words, if you are an heir of salvation according to the Word of God, God gives His angels charge over you for the purpose of bringing you safely to your destination of understanding Jesus Christ as the only Savior. He uses these powerful spirits and messengers as agents to guide you and protect you and to keep you from stumbling, so that you will be brought inevitably by the grace and mercy of God to your appointed destination and the inheritance which is yours in Jesus Christ. Are they not all ministering spirits sent for this purpose, for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Yes. It's a rhetorical question. Yes is the answer. And what do they do? What do they do? Psalm 91 says that they keep us from stumbling. Isn't that right? That's one of their great activities. Now, if you just turn in your Bibles a few pages to the book of 1 Peter, right after Hebrews is the book of James. And after James, you'll come to 1 Peter. And if you look in 1 Peter, in the second chapter, the Apostle Peter talks about this concept of stumbling. And then we're going to go back to the 91st Psalm. Read with me here now, if you would. Or listen to these wonderful words in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. And look at how Jesus is described. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You see, Jesus is like a stone, a precious stone. And we all need to come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus, and I need to come to Jesus. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. You see, if you come to Christ, if you trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, if you trust in the obedience and the covenant keeping of Jesus Christ, you'll not be disappointed. This precious value then is, verse 7, this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this they were also appointed. You see, dear friends in Jesus Christ, the ultimate in stumbling is to stumble over Jesus. The ultimate in stumbling is to fall over the stumbling stone, Jesus Christ, and to disbelieve him. And the promise of God is this, for his people. He will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all of your ways so that you will not stumble. They will bear you up, these angels, in their hands, lest you stumble and that stumbling in an ultimate sense is stumbling over Christ and the ministry of the angels is given so that will not occur. Do you get it? To get the ministry that's so powerful and so great and so gracious that Jesus the Savior has procured for you and me the ministry of these angels so that we will not stumble over him. And all that we can do and all that we can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your goodness. Because if it were not for that covenant keeping of Jesus, that ministry of the angels would not be ours. And we would stumble inevitably over Him when we hear about Him. Yet the promise is not such. Look at it again. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. May God give us grace to understand His goodness to us. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your care. And Father, as we've zeroed in a particular way on this peculiar ministry of the angels, we thank you for Jesus Christ and His obedience on our behalf, procuring for us, purchasing for us the ministry of these divine creatures of yours. May we be grateful to you for what Christ has done on behalf of the likes of us. Bless us and give us grace as we contemplate it, and as we indeed worship you in all of your splendor and wonder, and your Son Jesus in His covenant keeping for us. Hear us, we pray, in His name. Amen.